I'm Jackie.
I'm Gina.
Welcome to Bold Leap, where we focus on capturing the raw, authentic narratives of people like you
who took a bold leap to pursue their dreams. If you're struggling with how to make it happen and how to get started,
or maybe you just need a seed of inspiration,
then we invite you to take the bold leap.
Like, subscribe, and follow.
We have Rex Sharkey joining us today. Keep listening as we explore Rex's bold leap, shaping a more inclusive world through passion and empathy.
Empathy, I like that word. And passion, I like that word too. So I know we talked about taking a bold leap, but do you look back at the year? Because I know you're not a big planner. You like to take it as it comes. Mm-hmm. But do you reflect on the year prior and look at like, okay, what really good decision did I make? What bad decision did I make? Do you look at the year at all?
I do not. I just keep moving forward.
Really?
Yeah. Because you know what? I believe whatever has happened has made me the person that I am today.
So you don't ever have regrets?
Oh, I may have regrets, but there's nothing I can do about it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is what it is. So I just keep moving. So no, I'm not one that like, oh, I should have, could have. Well, it's not going to make it any better. I did it. It's done. Move on.
Wow.
Embrace it and move on.
That's
and I do
really
believe,
good. I wish I could do that.
I do believe that, you know, whatever mistakes I've made in the past or whatever good things I've done in the past, good, bad, ugly, different, they've made me the person I am today. And today I'm confident and comfortable with the person that I am.
Okay.
And I'm moving forward. But to dwell on something... No, I'm not reflecting back on the year.
Really, really good. What about your wins? Like, do you think about the year and say,
no,
that was a great decision?
No,
you don't.
Mm-mm. No, I just keep going.
So like, you don't.
I have no big summary. End of the year summary. Like, oh, I did well, or oh, this went great, or oh, no,
no year in summary.
Nothing. That's a teacher.
I was just gonna say that's the teacher.
No end of the year book report.
Let me ask you something.
Yeah.
Okay. So. Yeah, I reflect a lot. And I talk about, I think about my mistakes
no,
too.
Move on. You made them. Embrace them and move on.
Okay. That's good. That's really good. I wish I
We're
could
done.
Do that.
Thanks for joining the Bold Leap podcast. Yeah.
That was it. Okay. Well, no, let me ask you something because you said something really interesting and I've been really thinking a lot about regrets and stuff like that. Because a lot of people will say, I don't have any regrets. And I think, am I the only one with regrets?
I think you have them, but I don't dwell on them. Like, you know.
No, but I like what you just said. You said, I'm in a good place. So, like, why worry about what didn't work out or what I did, you know, mistakes or whatever? That's a really good point. What about somebody that's not in a good place?
Well, it's hard to be in a good place. I'm not always in a good place 24/7.
Oh, you're not?
No.
Oh,
go
wow.
figure. But okay. You know what? For the most part... We have days and we have minutes and we have hours that, you know, you're a black hole. Like it's just not going well, but you know, and you, I think you have to be in that place so that you can get out of that place. Getting out of it is not easy.
Okay.
It's hard. And I think it's hard when you're a person who's usually up and going and, you know, positive. It's hard for the people around you when you're not. Like that can be really hard where people are like, oh, you're so dark or you're so, you know, I think people expect you to always be, and sometimes you're not. And so that's hard.
Because you're human.
Right. And I think that's hard. It's hard on you when people are, gosh, what, you know, you're not usually like this. No, well, give me a minute. You know, everybody has that time. So I think that's harder.
This is a perfect segue to our guest. That was great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So meet Rex Sharkey, an inspiring person whose journey transcends the conventional paths. Originally a sales professional, Rex discovered his true calling when he engaged with a nonprofit dedicated to working with young adults with special needs. This experience ignited a spark within, leading him to a career fair where he learned about applied behavior analysis, ABA. And that was the moment he pivoted his career, becoming a board-certified behavior analyst at Centria Autism, as well as serving as vice president of board of directors at Third Circle, Inc. In addition to his sheer brilliance of observing the individuals he supports, Rex has committed to empowering people of all abilities by spearheading numerous community initiatives, creating awareness, as well as fundraising opportunities for many charities. He joins us today to share how his insights and daily habits set him up for success each year. Welcome to Bold Leap.
Thank you.
Rex Sharkey.
I'm so honored to be here.
Is in the house. Yay. Okay, so we're going to start off with something that's really interesting. So many people have their path, they think, figured out. They go to school, they get their degree, they start a job, and then something comes along and says, this isn't right. I don't feel good about my decision. I can't find my calling. I can't figure out what my purpose is, but something is missing. Now, you started one way as a salesperson and then ended up in a completely different field. So tell us about that journey.
Yeah. So I graduated with a bachelor's degree in communication from Oakland University. And I got a bachelor's degree in communication because I had no idea what I wanted to do. So I picked the thing that was just probably the most broad and just keep as many doors open as possible. So then in my job search, I was looking at different opportunities and one came along with sales. And, you know, with the way I interact with my siblings and my parents and friends, I was like, you'd be good at sales, you know? And so I was like, why not? I'll give this a shot. I love talking to people. So I get into language translation, language interpretation, and language training. I get into that business and I'm doing sales for that space. And, you know, again, just because I love communication, I love talking to people and I want to help assist in that. I tried to find like a lot of purpose in that space and I was able to find some purpose. But, you know, at the end of the day, day after day of calling and I had to do my own prospecting, I had to do cold calling. Oh my gosh.
And all the no's.
All the no's. You know, there was a lot of good to come of it. You
like
know?
What?
Well, I think kind of in line with what Gina was saying earlier, like you have these trials and tribulations or you'll have regrets. I mean, I think on paper, looking back at it with my career, I could frame it in a way where it was like, oh, that was such a waste of time, you know, because, well, I wasn't the best sales guy, you know, I had some good moments, but at the same time, when it came to the purpose and the impact that I was creating, was I making a difference? Not really.
And was that your intent? Like at graduating from college, that doesn't seem like somebody's intent.
Yeah. You know, I did. My mind has always been framed in that way. And I guess in a way, as a young professional, it's almost an unrealistic expectation because it's like, you know, as we talk about goals and goal setting and you're so focused on the thing.
The result.
And you get this ton and you're focusing on the end goal. But there's such a process leading to that and a journey going into that. And so for me, I'm not making purpose. I'm looking at that permanent product. What am I doing? What's the end result? And nothing was there, but you know, in reframing my thinking and looking back from a refreshed perspective and a detached one, it was like, okay, this is part of the process. This is cultivating that struggle, the pressure, the stress, the sleepless nights, the cold calling, getting told to screw off for a living, you know, that whole thing.
So it wasn't a waste of time. No. That all led to where you're at.
Well, you know, actually.
Or contributed.
What's so funny is the lack of purpose within that made me find purpose from other factors. And that's what led me to that nonprofit.
Oh.
Because through the 9 to 5, the Monday through Friday, I was like, man, like, I'm just, you know, I felt I'm a guy that wants to be purpose driven. Right. Mm-hmm. And so when I was doing that, I had a friend who connected with me and she's like, hey, have you heard of this nonprofit called the Friendship Circle? A lot of circles in my life, third circle, friendship circle. But I was like, no, what is this? And they're like, okay, you're going to get paired with somebody on the autism spectrum and you take them out in the community and you're with all these other kids and you get them to engage and we're going to go bowling and to the movies and you're going to go to the zoo and you're going to work on different life skills and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, this is awesome. And I'm such a kid at heart. So naturally, I would just, you know, I was like, oh, sweet, let's do this. And so every single Sunday during that whole time, I would.
You went and volunteered?
Every single time.
Really?
Yeah. And that created such a purpose and such a passion. And I thought that ship had sailed because my bachelor's degree was in communication.
Right.
I didn't get a degree in special education. So I was like, well, this is fun. I'm going to do this. I'm just going to do this. You know,
for fun.
Cultivate purpose outside of the career.
How do you, there are lots of people who are in this world and maybe who are listening and they don't have a purpose. Mm-hmm. They're like, I don't know what my purpose is.
Right.
How do you find a purpose?
Well, you gotta really look within and see what your values are. You know, I think, Gina, I wish I had a really blueprint structure of going about this. There's not, you know, it's something that, whether it's a little bit of faith you have to lean on, whether it's a little bit of going with the flow, you know, we'll have a plan that we'll stick to it. But we, you know, if you're so fixated on that plan, you're going to miss other opportunities. And just kind of, I think it starts with being receptive. You know, you just have to have an open heart. Look at the opportunities around you and see what really meshes well with you, what really makes you feel good, and then lean on that. And then, you know, in my case, I always say, like with ABA, it found me, right? Because I didn't know what ABA was. So I guess it was just being open and receptive to whatever came my way. And then the purpose just came.
So how did you find ABA then? Or how did ABA find you? Through you volunteering? How did that journey go?
Yeah, so I was volunteering, and then for a time I was actually going to move out to Washington, D.C. I have a buddy who's working on Capitol Hill, and there's all, you know, all sorts of sales opportunities. I was ready to resell my soul to corporate America, you know, as I was moving on from the one job to the next. You know, there was, I went out there, and I was in the thing, in the world, and the lack of purpose from that. Now the friendship circle is all the way back in Michigan. Now I had no legs to stand on in terms of fulfillment. So that didn't work. And I came back home. And so I was back home and I was like, okay, what am I going to do? So I went to the career center at Oakland University, and they were having a big career fair, right? And so you have all these companies with all these booths. And so my goal was just, okay, take three. We're going to sell the soul to corporate America. I'm going to work in a cube again. Let's do the thing, right? Groundhog Day here. Yeah. But I was going to go back into volunteering and finding. And so as I'm going through all these booths, Centria Autism was there. And that stuck out like a sore thumb. And I was like, oh, wait, what? Like autism? What's going on here? You know, they're next to Coyote Logistics. Like it was like, what?
Huh? Completely.
Centria Autism. What is this? So I went right up to them and I was like, you know, what's going on? And they told me what ABA therapy was and what a behavior technician is and all these things. And I was like, okay, so that ship has not sailed, right?
Wow. So the stuff you were doing volunteering actually sort of led you to like whatever, however that works.
It planted the seed.
Yeah.
Right.
And you thought, oh, I can do this. I've done some of this.
Yeah. I was like,
so did you apply for the job then?
Yeah. I was looking at it. Actually, you know what I did was I first applied for sales. Kind of like a sales aspect of that. Yeah, I was going to work in the corporate sector.
Oh, wow.
And because I was like, okay, I love what they're doing. But at the same time, I was like, I was still, you know, I was negotiating contracts and stuff professionally. And I was like, you know, I was still trying to chase the pocketbook a little bit. You know, I was like, okay, I'm going to try to be, you know, on the corporate sector and working with insurances and recruiting and all that. And so I was talking to, you know, interviewing for that, and I didn't get that job. And I was like, this has got to be some sort of divine intervention or something. I need to work in this space. And if I can't sell for these people, okay, fine. I'm going to take a complete different career path, take the pay cut, and I'm just going to follow my heart.
Wow.
And my grandpa and my dad and all these influential people in my life just say, follow your heart and the money will come. You know, that was a lot of good advice that I got from a lot of people. And I was like, it's time to put words into action. So then I became what is called a behavior technician.
So you did get the job then.
I got a job with the company on the clinical side, where
which
all my
is
experience,
what you really wanted.
Which is what I wanted to do. But at the same time, I was still looking at like all this work I've done and all that, because my mental framing was not in the space it is now. And so I was like, I don't want to waste all the grinding and blood, sweat, and tears that went into the cold calling. And, you know, all my skills right now are in that space. I still want to stay in that. So, I mean, it found me because there was no other choice.
Wow.
And it was either that or go, you know, work for a logistics or, you know, Quicken Loans or something like that, which are great.
Right.
Great career paths and great opportunities for a ton of people, but it just wasn't me.
Right.
So then I became a behavior technician. And from there, that's when everything changed.
Old Leaf is produced by Podcast Nation. To learn more, visit us at podcastnation.com.
Wow. Yeah. So what was the biggest change then?
The biggest change was the first day as a behavior technician when I met the client. And you know, you guys had Mike Cormier on twice. He's one of my
amazing
most influential mentors. No disrespect to you, Mike, but you're not the greatest. You're amazing. The clients that I've worked with, these kids that have these barriers that they have to deal with in a world that is already so confusing for us all. We're all trying to navigate. We're all trying to negotiate our place within this world. And then these kids on top of that, with all the barriers they have to deal with, and they have to still lace their bootstraps up in the morning. They still have to do all these things that would bring me to my knees. I mean, that's where I started really learning, was working with these kids.
And what did you learn? What was the biggest, aha moment for you?
Finding gratitude, finding enjoyment in things that are simple. I mean, for the client, because it's healthcare, I can't get into exact details.
Right.
So I'm going to speak generally speaking, but you know, these kids will just, as you work with them, the idea is to make learning fun. Okay. So you got to figure out, okay, how am I going to make learning fun? Because I never learned from a teacher that was just draconian and do this. You know what I mean? So it was all about, honestly, it was selling. It was sales still. It was very much so sales. And so working with these kids, but as you see how they find enjoyment, how they laugh, how to get these meaningful interactions with a disability that really masks it was incredible. And I learned a lot from them as they did me. But this one kid in particular was just so, he was so brilliant and he had so many capabilities in aspects that you would never see from a day to day, where if you saw this guy out and it's, you know, oh, it's low functioning. Oh, this poor kid, he needs help. But then as you get to know and you get to unveil the layers of this kid, and see what his passions are, see what his interests are. I mean, he was a savant.
Wow, in music. Really?
Oh my gosh.
Did he know it?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh, he did?
Oh, he knew he was a rock star.
Wow.
He couldn't tell me, but he knew.
Wow.
He loved Queen.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And my mom was a big Queen fan. She got me into, you know, in the Bohemian Rhapsody movie that came out a few years prior to when that I started working. And I was like, oh, let's go. And so we were able to connect through that. And so, you know, just seeing the capabilities of this person who society defines as disabled was just mind blowing.
So that changed you and your perspective and working with this clientele. Mm-hmm. What did you do next?
In terms of being a behavior technician or in terms of the overall career path?
Career path.
So I hated school. I did not like school. I was not the best student. And so, you know, it's so funny because I'm always trying to climb a ladder, right? I'm always trying to look at the next. That was one of the big decision processes that went when I'm looking at companies is what's the room for advancement, room for growth? Mm-hmm. And the only way for room for growth on the clinical ladder that I was climbing now, I had to go back to school. And I was like, man, like, oh my gosh. You know, I'm a millennial. We have Snapchat. You know, the kids are whatever. And when I graduated with my bachelor's degree on that final day, I had like a Snap story and it was like, school's out forever. Like never again. Like, I'm just like all excited.
And here you are back in school.
I graduated in December.
My bachelor's degree.
And then when I, with my master's degree, I was starting back in December and it was like, it was so funny because my start date was like right around and it was like, oh, this time 3 years ago, look what happened on this day. And it shows me like school's out forever. And I'm filling out the orientations papers and I'm just like so depressed.
How was going to school the second time for your master's different than when you went the first time?
So the first time high school and college, I was a 2.0. Right. I mean, I just getting through, just skating by, couldn't focus. And a lot of that came with just the no purpose or passion. Mm-hmm. But when I got my master's degree and when I'm working with my most influential mentors, including Mike, So when I was working and just all the knowledge and things that I've learned and then the passion that fuels that, the master's degree, just it was a cakewalk, actually. Compared to everything else.
See, that's so interesting. And just so you know, I don't know if you know, but Gina's a teacher. So she's been teaching for 30 some years. What's really interesting about what you said, though, is you were a 2.0 student because you didn't have, you weren't doing something that was passionate. Like mm-hmm. you didn't have your why figured out. And there's a lot of people that are 2.0 students and they think that that's all they're capable of. But the truth is, if you figure out your why, your passion, what lights you up, mm-hmm. you can excel. It doesn't matter if you're a 2.0.
Right. I mean, I thought I was a loser. I was like, yeah, the school thing's not for me.
And yeah. now you have your master's?
Yep. Master's in psychology.
Master's in psychology. Mm-hmm. Are you continuing on or?
Yeah. So, you know, as I look at the path that I'm taking, there could be a PhD opportunity. And that's
going to depend on,
maybe. My ego wants me to be Dr. Rex.
Yeah, I'm sure. That's cool.
But working directly with the kids where my strengths are, the PhD is not often part of that equation. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, it would probably just be more, you know, student debt for a title yeah. difference. So,
yeah. What are your strengths, would you say? Like, what do you feel like you really give these kids?
You know, they give me. And I can give back. So reciprocity. Mm. I can return to them what they're going to give me.
And what are they giving you?
So much just energy and joy and you know, all those things. So, you know, when I step in and work with these kids, I feel like it's my calling. I mean, I really do feel.
You light up when you talk about
yeah,
it.
I do.
You smile. I wish people could see you right now because you can tell you love it.
Yeah. And it's because of them. You know, it's because of them. Well, and then, you know, growing up, to get vulnerable real quick, I had terrible anxiety. So much so that I was going to be homeschooled. I couldn't even, like in seventh and eighth grade and all that, I couldn't even get out the car to walk into the school. I would just freak. And it wasn't anything in particular. I mean, there were always challenges and bullying and this, mm-hmm. that, and the other, but it was more so of just a manifestation of just fear. You know, you'd have the panic attacks, and then you became so scared of the panic attacks that you would align it with the triggers, right? And I knew school was one, so it was like the fear of fear itself. And so it just, and so because I couldn't associate a meaning with it, I was like, I'm different, you know? And
so do you think that's why you're drawn so much to the yeah. clientele that you're working with and the space you're working in?
It gave me empathy and it gave me perspective, you know, and I couldn't, for the longest time, I could never make sense of it. And I still have it to this day. I mean,
really?
Make no mistake. Yeah. The anxiety is always there, but you just become acquainted with it. Mm-hmm. Right. And you work on managing it and even harnessing it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'll try to attach my anxiety with things that would be barriers. You know, instead of like be anxious about complacency, be anxious. And with that comes.
So use it for fuel.
Use it for fuel.
That's awesome.
So, yeah.
Let me ask you this. How do you set up your year for success? Like what things do you do based on observing others, working with so many other people? You're very aware of, you know, what challenges people have every mm-hmm. day. So how do you. What do you do for your mental health and your self-care routine that helps you succeed?
You know, a lot of it is prioritizing and executing. And that is a skill that I've had to cultivate through just this tendency to bite off more than I can chew, you know?
So do you do a plan for the year? Like, what do you do?
Yeah. So I'll do a plan. I'll look into it. You know, I am kind of a sucker for false constructs. I do like the New Year's resolution just to get the momentum there. And I'll lean into that. But I'm always, you know, throughout the past few years, I've really gotten into journaling and reflecting and really seeing, okay, with this work and with these kids come all this purpose. So how am I going to cultivate that? And what am I going to do? And so like, for example, when I meet with Mike, it's so funny because we both are bouncing off the walls and talking. And then we'll fill up a whiteboard with all of these initiatives. Like we'll just fill a whiteboard. And there are all these great ideas because we're both dreamers,
yeah.
right? And so then we have all these things and it's like, okay, we're going to do, you know, this gentle teaching international presentation in Canada in October. And then we're doing our third annual step into the spotlight, which we do a red carpet event mm-hmm. for these kids and for the folks that Mike supports. And You know, we have things, all these different initiatives that we're planning. And so it gets overwhelming, right? And so I have to really look back, and the biggest thing is just prioritizing and executing and compartmentalizing after that.
And what about like for yourself? Because when you're taking care of so many other people, or you're giving so mm-hmm. much, whether it's fundraising or just working with kids every day, you have to take care, like you've got to be in a good space. So what do you do for yourself?
I spend a lot of time within three pillars. And it's very similar to how Mike prioritizes.
And we're talking about Mike Cormier, who's Mike been Cormier, a guest here.
Yes. Yeah. Sorry.
No, so, that's okay.
I operate within the body, the soul, and the spirit. And so with the body comes lifting, jujitsu. With the mm-hmm. soul comes yoga, meditation. I'll do a lot of breath work. That helps me a lot. And within the spirit comes scripture and meaningful connections with family and stuff like that. And so every time I'm not doing something, I you know, professionally, I try to look at that list. I'm going to try to spend the most time in the spirit. And then from there, I'm going to prioritize. And then I do, you know, the body and the soul from there. And I'll do the breath work and the lifting. And that's what fuels me and gets me through all of the barriers. And especially as an empath that I'm working with these kids and these families, and I go in and I have a massive caseload. And so if I don't maintain those three pillars, I will crumble.
Wow. Those daily habits then help fuel your success for mm-hmm. business and for professional and personal. Mm-hmm. Someone who's listening and wants to start today or wants to make a change, what would be the first thing you'd tell them that they should start out of those three pillars? You can't do everything all at once. Where what would be your suggestion for a starting point?
If you can, if you are ready, I would start with the spirit, right? Because that's going to give you faith. That's going to, if you surrender to something that is beyond yourself, a higher power, and I won't get into the X's and O's of that. For everybody, it's different, you know? So if you can do something in that space, I would argue that that's the most important pillar. But I also have to be realistic about a lot of people in the stage of their lives that they're in. I haven't always been able to dip into the spirit. As a matter of fact, it's relatively new within the past 3 years, 4 years, right? So if you can do that, if not, I think the soul, I think, you know,
what
breath
do you mean
work.
When you, oh, okay.
Yeah. So the spirit is going to be something beyond yourself,
like
whether it's a higher power okay. or very meaningful connections mm-hmm. with family and so on and so forth. Right. The soul to me is the mind. That's going to be more internal processes, you know, and that's going to be journaling, meditation, so on and so forth. So start there. And I think if you can quiet your mind, you'll find that you'll be able to focus on other things. That's going to be the foundation for the rest of your goal setting when it comes to things that are within the body.
Okay.
Right?
That's really good. Great, great advice. Now, let me ask you this. Somebody who's listening who would love to have you work with their, you know, their child, do you take clients outside of your company, or like, how does that work?
Yeah. So the process is going to be done through the company. There's, you know, operations and insurances and all that gets handled from there.
Okay.
And then from there, that's when they come to the clinician, and then I'll be handed my caseload and figure out.
So you know. can they request you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
because we're going to have your links up that you gave us that we're going to post.
Yeah, they absolutely can. I do belong to a certification board, and mm-hmm. with that comes a certain set of rules. But, you know, if somebody ever wants to request me or go to send, I don't know what are the X's and O's of that, what that exactly that's going to look like,
okay.
if that can happen. But
okay. But they can message you and get some more information, because we're going to have the links up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Great.
Absolutely.
Well, Rex, this was great. Very inspiring. Thank you for being here. We're going to wrap it up with, how do you slice the pie? So what do you do daily? You kind of talked about mm-hmm. it, but what are the top three or four priorities that you have to fit in a day that you know are going to set you up for a good year?
Yeah. So for me, it's going to be a breath work, particularly the Wim Hof breath work. Mm. For anybody beginning that, there's a YouTube app that walks you exactly through it.
Do you do cold plunges?
All the time.
Oh, do you?
All okay, the time.
Go ahead.
Love that.
So breath work.
Breath work. And then the gym. So I try to do one thing from each pillar every day. So I'll try to work out. Weightlifting really helps me. I'm not much of a cardio guy, but I do love, you know, the release with lifting, and then some meaningful family time and prayer.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome. You know, you have such a great disposition about you. You just, I don't like to use the word happy because but you just look happy. Like you look like you just have it in control. So I think this is a great way to end this interview, because I think those tips are really good for people looking for purpose and peace and fun.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. And I could say the same things about you too. As a matter of fact, you told me Gina is a teacher. I was like, she sounds a lot like a life coach.
Yeah. Yeah. Good, she kind of is.
Well, I'll tell you what,
she was a good teacher.
Thank you for joining us today. Thank you for your kind words. And remember, sometimes the only mode of transportation available is a bold leap. Comment and share this episode. Thanks for listening, and be bold.
Be bold.